Thank you, Raheem. Let's see who we have. We have Joanna. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I just want to thank Project Veritas for your undercover work. I am an intensivist, an ICU physician, anesthesiologist out in New York, and I am, as a physician, so insulted by these egregious findings, and they are important. It's essential that we look at them, but this goes a step beyond the pursuit of corporate profitability and potentially steps into medical bioterrorism against worldwide humanity. And here we're seeing research now aimed at mutating the COVID virus to sell a vaccine. And I'm wondering, I'm glad that directed evolution is trending right now on Twitter. As Pfizer exists as a major advertiser to major media companies, you know, how this is going to play out in the media later tonight and tomorrow, I'll be eager to see that. I just want to thank, you guys for uncovering this.
Yeah, and Joanna, for everyone from the media who's here right now listening to this, this party of, you know, you getting paid by Big Pharma for spinning their stories and telling their scripts to your audience are over. If you don't realize that this is the end of the road and that you need to come around and work again for the public instead of your sponsors and advertisers, then you are really missing a very
important. And I want to jump on what you just said. This is James O'Keefe. You know, if you don't come around, you're really missing. I think it's a really profound point. There's a lot of cognitive dissonance here in journalism because they're not reporting on these companies. They're brought to you by Pfizer. Brought to you by Pfizer. That's my imitation of the commercials that you see, you've seen on Good Morning America and Jake Tapper Show. But what's remarkable is that these people have to lie in or just to their whole life is a lie. And they have this construct, this artifice, and they have to maintain that lie. And what you see in this video, perhaps in more extraordinary fashion than any other video because of just how high the stakes are, is this guy, he's letting down his defense, and he's being authentic, and he's being his real self. And I think that people are going to, they're not going to be able to construct this lie and maintain this lie forever.
The arrogance, yeah, the arrogance and the insensitivity. Yeah, it's frightening to see that, frankly.
I don't think this guy was, you know, a clerk at CVS or, you know, a pharmacist. No. This guy, as Malone pointed out, is three steps below the CEO of the company. So, all right, let's go back to Matt and then Melissa. Matt Tierman.
You know, we shouldn't be naive, and we should remember that the pharmaceutical and drug industry has always been one of the most corrupt industries, and the level of laxness in its regulation and the revolving door that's occurred. I mean, you know, somebody just mentioned, you know, ads. Ads are very regulated in how you sell drugs. Frequently, you can't even mention the name of the company. In many countries, you can't even advertise selling pharmaceutical drugs because of the aggressiveness of the sales practice. I mean, I remember when I was covering pharma early, the de facto sort of sales process of drugs was you had sales reps going to docs and saying, my drug is better than my competitors, and giving them everything from pens to lunches to trips to Bermuda. And that got more heavily regulated, and that was some low-hanging fruit. But now with the regulatory capture that Dr. Malone so, you know, well led with at the beginning of the space, it is over the top, and it needs that sort of moment of re-regulation. I mean, to give you another example of a storyline, Raheem's done great work on a ton of COVID in Europe. I mean, a lot, Tom, Dr. Malone, one of the stories that I've been watching, because I work with Adam Andrzejewski and Open the Books, is the NIH has redacted the royalties. These guys all get all the public sector, high-ranking medical professionals that determine all the most important decisions for public health. Many of them get royalties from pharmaceutical companies, many of them from Pfizer, and they've redacted what those royalties are, the details behind them. All that exists is a date and a name that they exist. So you don't see the amounts, you don't see the dates, you don't see the purpose for them. And, you know, that's something that's been mentioned in congressional hearings. Like, we are are in a moment, and this really, I do believe, I told you this the other day, James, leading into this, I think this is the biggest story PV has ever exposed, because it literally touches everybody. It is the those who determine public health at the highest level, and now we know the whole system is rotten from the top down.
It's also going to establish, thanks, Matt, it's also going to establish if, you know, where do the boundaries lie on people's consciences? Like, where I view this, you know, we're trying to be the custodian of the public's conscience and test and affirm where can we agree on anything in this country?
And
I mean, this is something that we ought to agree on, the people's, you know, loyalties to their commercial advertisers or to some dogma. I mean, this is just wrong. Okay, let me go to a few people we haven't heard from. Dr. Deb, who's a doctor from ICU. Are you there?
Hi there. I just can't thank all of you enough. That's amazing, amazing work from the doctors that I believe are on the right side and have been dealing with COVID and treating COVID and treating backs injured. You guys just blew it out of the ballpark, and my heart just is so full of great gratitude. I want to say that this guy that spoke out, this fourth level Pfizer guy, he reminded me of being in the doctor's lounge and as if he's acting like a second year resident who knows just enough to be dangerous with his arrogance and his lack of empathy and lack of compassion. To think that Pfizer would start trying to make mutate this and make more vaccines. I mean, to me, they're like a glorified meth lab. They just want to keep making more vaccines and injuring and killing more people without any conscience. I mean, I've just had such a visceral response to this whole evening, and I hope this just leads to more and more. I agree these people should be jailed, and if not, this is taking down medicine, you know?
Well, thank you for the remarks and accountability. Repeating myself here, but, you know, people come and go on the show here. So tomorrow we have a follow-up story where I encounter this man and speak to him for quite some time, perhaps the most bizarre, riveting, enlightening, entertaining accountability you'll ever see in your life. Let's go to Joel, comms director for Matt Gaetz. Are you there? We saw Matt Gaetz tweet the story out. What's your response to this Pfizer expose?
Hey, James. Thanks for having me on the space today. This is probably one of the most shocking Project Veritas investigations I've seen to date. And I think Pfizer needs to answer critical questions about this immediately. I mean, and you can bet I sent this video to every member of Congress that I'm close with as soon as I watched this guy.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I watched this guy not only admit to gain-of-function activity within Pfizer, but openly compares their work to the sequence of events that led to the Wuhan lab leak that unleashed the coronavirus onto the world. So I'll be pushing members of Congress to start demanding answers on this and to start calling for the folks in this video to testify before the U.S. House of Representatives immediately. This is an explosive report. I just want to thank you all for the work that you've done, and I'll make sure to push this to members of Congress.
Joel, I get asked by everyone here, what can Congress actually do? So for people who, like me, who aren't really in politics literally in politics, more on the journalism side. What can Congress do about
that? Yeah, well, first and foremost, Congress's job is to legislate and to get down to the facts. And so we need to hold investigations, and we need to be bringing in folks into the committee rooms, into the hearing rooms that are relevant to these investigations, like you, like the reporters, like the folks in the video. And we need to get down to what actually happened. So we have to expose the truth in the Congress, and then we have to have the American people demand accountability from a corrupt DOJ, unfortunately. But that's what needs to happen.
It seems to me like the people have to kind of groundswell a little bit and give the political capital to Congress so that there can be at least some, like one Democrat or something has to come and say, okay, this is wrong. Maybe this is one of those issues. And Melissa.
Yeah, well, hopefully that explosive reporting will do just that. Thank you, James.
Thank you, Joel. And thanks for the congressman for tweeting this out. Tom, your hand is still raised. I don't know if Tom Fitton, you have a follow-up?
Yeah, you know, this highlights, James, one of the reasons that Fauci and company and so many were hesitant to get into the China issue. It's because, as I said earlier, we were doing and funding the same research that was concerning in Wuhan. And we, you know, there's this presumption you know, maybe a fair one, that it originated in Wuhan. But this story raises the question as to the origin of the variants. Did any of the variants result from this type of research? If my question for the medical experts on the panel is there an innocent explanation for this? In vaccine development, do they take viruses and put them into monkeys and see how they, I call it metastasize, or as you point out, directed evolution, James? Is that ordinary in the development of vaccines against emergent viruses like this, or is this an extraordinary step that should be frowned upon inherently?
Can I field that for starters?
Yes.
The use of gain-of-function research in vaccine development has often been in the stage of investigation of why a given characteristic exists in virus A and not in virus B. There was quite a bit of this type of work done on H1N1 at the CDC in trying to understand the difference in where different isolates infected lung. And part of that research was done by swapping genetic elements in and out of different viruses. This type of directed evolution, quote-unquote, the justification the gentleman's providing is immunologically naive at best. The protection, as I think even Kim.com, I'm pretty sure made this point right off the bat. Immune response is more than just antibody. It's more than just a single epitope. It's a broad response across multiple different evolved immunologic systems. And the core thesis that the gentleman is floating here is, frankly, naive. But it is emblematic of the culture that seems to believe that it's okay to play around like this, to just poke around and do investigations because it's possible to do it. The technology is now so powerful that doing this type of stuff is pretty straightforward. It's easy to do. And it is not the norm. It has no solid immunologic basis for what he's proposing, that you would generate specific epitopes and then identify those as more pathogenic, and then build a vaccine against those in a proactive way, trying to anticipate viral evolution in a population. It's as I said at the start, the hubris is overwhelming for me. But beyond that, the naivete that this gentleman would be a senior worldwide director responsible for RNA vaccine strategy and be speaking like a second year immunology graduate student at a mid-grade university just boggles my mind. I'm just overwhelmed by kind of the just gross naivete that's displayed by these statements. So no, this is not the norm. It has been the norm in the past to ask questions about why virus A versus virus B causes disease in a certain way. But driven, directed evolution to identify potential future risks is absolutely not the norm, but it appears, if you can believe the documents that were obtained, and I think Veritas may have had a role in that, or it was Blaze, in obtaining these documents that apparently originally came from a server at DARPA that describe the logic that the virus work at Wuhan was done to somehow create a live bat vaccine. The kind of the naivete in that logic is very much mirrored in what I'm hearing from this gentleman, and it reflects a culture that believes itself to be untouchable, basically, that these are the best and the brightest, and they have the right to experiment with these pathogenic agents, and none of us really have the right background insight to be able to impose any rules or regulations on these people. That's the culture you're dealing with. Over.